Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I might also like to add that Pete's way dumber than a processor.
Hello and welcome to the Lore Boys podcast, the internet's number one fake history podcast. My name and your host for today is James Miller. Who else is here today?
Ethan, Mentat, the spice maker. Got it.
Got it. Nice.
That was supposed to be Peter's joke.
Shut up, dude. I said it. This is my joke now.
Peter O'Donohue. I just like the new show on Amazon Prime, not sponsored. I'm the little red candy in the blister pack that makes you smarter a bit.
Yeah. Definitely. If you guys want to hear Peter say the joke, subscribe to our Patreon and listen to the bonus because he says it on there.
You know what we should do to get people out of the Patreon nowadays is deliver each other's jokes worse for free.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like when a stand-up comedian just like does someone's whole set before they have to go up kind of thing. And
let's be the Dane Cooks of podcasters. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Except for the fact, I think we established that didn't actually happen on a couple episodes ago. I don't remember.
So Dune Cook was a heavily requested topic.
Dune Cook, fried worm, am I right?
Yeah. We're going to pick up worm fried this rice.
We're going to pick up where we left off last week, more or less. So if you're interested, Ethan did a great job talking about Holtzman in our very first episode and kind of some of the technology that goes into the world. Then covered the Butlerian Jihad, basically getting rid of all AI in the universe. And now we're picking up more or less from there where Mentats pick up. These are kind of the human computers. Because if we can't have computers, we better learn to be damn computers ourselves.
Huh? Yeah, exactly. I supported the genocide of the robots, but I'm still wholly unwilling to do math myself. Okay,
guys. I do like how you said with the Holtzman episode, I set up the technology of the universe, and then with the Butlerian Jihad episode, I covered how they just destroyed all the technology of the universe.
Yep. It's still very relevant though, because it does survive in little ways throughout the universe.
The Ixians, who we talked about on the last episode.
The Ixians, our first Mentat here too might be a bit of a machine smuggler. So but more on that soon. But before we get started,
up his ass. Get him.
Thanks to our newest patrons, Steve Z, who we've seen around in the Discord for a while.
Long time, yeah.
Yep. Anthony Crizzoli and John Aviator. John Aviator, very cool name.
That's a cool ass name, dude.
And very especially special thanks to Billy Binsmoke, who joined Patreon at the highest tier, earning oil and mineral rights to my body. So happy plundering there.
Yeah, we have a real life lore boy prime.
Yeah.
We haven't had one since Terry, and he left me raw, so be gentle.
I saw a couple of people talking about it. It's like, well, just because we've exhausted the actual like drilling resources, we can just start fracking at this point. So frankly, go for it.
And I liked Saucy. It's like, it's not that there isn't oil, it's just that it's not profitable to take it out of him.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's more of we need to move into shale gas, which is under Jamie's bed at this point, which you need to crack his mattress in half with some kind of gel thing.
Yeah, right. That's it. It's trapped in the epidermis, you know what I mean? So we got to split that all open, pump it full of liquid, then extract that liquid that has now trapped the gas.
Yeah. I'm sorry. This is a very cute moment going on. My cat's in the tree pushing food to the edge of the cat tree. The dog eats it, and the cat whaps her face as she eats it.
Aww.
The circle of life over here. All right.
I love how every week with Melon, It's like it's a gamble if Jamie's gonna be like
it's hot and cold. Yeah,
yeah. If Jamie's gonna be like, oh, she's so cute, or she's gonna be like, this fucking cat pissed in my bed again.
we're getting over the bad stuff. She's been being better and better lately. So
it'll come back around. Don't worry.
Oh yeah, definitely.
My cat's gonna be 4 in July and still terrorizes me. I get up at 5:45 every day now, which is insane because she used to be 6:30, which I was very comfortable with.
All right, so here's a little quote before we get into our very first Mentat. This is a quote from David Lynch's movie, as well as it shows up in a couple games, but it is a really good quote for a Mentat. It is by Will.
I'm a computer. Sorry.
I'm a computer. Yeah. It is by Will alone I set my mind in motion. It is by the juice of Sappho that thoughts acquire speed, the lips acquire stains. The stains become a warning. It is by will alone I set my mind in motion. So this is tells about how they need to kind of master their mind. They can use something called Sappho that makes them think really fast, but there's drawbacks to that, and it ends up causing computing errors later. So it's better to not use the speed and just to use your will alone.
Well, only Will can use lesbian speed.
is that the grace? Is that a special speed?
Sappho is a famous lesbian, and you said Will alone.
Oh,
Sappho's best friend subreddit.
Sappho of the poet of the Isle of Lesbos, which is just the word lesbian.
Right. Yeah. So the juice of Sappho. If you watch the old David Lynch movie, you notice that especially some of the Mentats who took it a little too far, they have red stained lips. There's a picture of the guy with the big crazy eyebrows and the red stained lips.
Oh, the picture of Peter that you put in our Discord chat.
Yeah, everybody created some suction on their cherry cola at school and let their lips get sucked in for too long so they can safely travel through space.
Yeah, exactly. That kid at the birthday party who was running around with undiagnosed ADHD was just a Mentat who hadn't been taken control of yet, you know?
Patrons will get access to these pictures in the Discord, but for the listeners at home, it's a guy with crazy eyebrows, crazy thick hair, much like Peter, red stained face, and then he's given the Italian the forefinger.
Oh, he's saying spaghetti. You know?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's a Mentat that works for House Harkonnen, who actually is a twisted Mentat who we won't even touch till the very end. We're gonna finish on twisted Mentats, but
I don't
want to
touch that guy.
That's where we end today. And in the Dune adaptions by Denis Villeneuve, it's now, it shows up as a tattoo under the lip, a black tattoo under the lip.
Yeah, which is much less stupid looking. I've seen the David Lynch movie, and then I definitely appreciate it for the 80s camp. I know a friend of the show, Oren, who is a massive Dune head, hates it for being bad. And that's fair. I think it is bad, and a lot of it looks stupid. The eyebrows are truly ridiculous. It's like fucking Shih Tzu fur on their foreheads.
But,
for some reason.
For some reason, everyone who is like an ally of House Harkonnen had crazy eyebrows. And House Harkonnen is meant to be like, especially the Baron that you meet, who's the villain in Denis Villeneuve movies. He's supposed to be so repulsive that anyone who would look at him would shudder. So that's what I guess the eyebrows are trying to do in the old version.
Every time I look at Pete, I shudder.
Yeah. So that's the purpose.
Pete, you look like a Goomba when you do that with your eyebrows.
Pete's sticking his fingers up in the middle of his eyebrows and raising them to give him a little bit more of an arch.
For the patrons.
I got one already. Don't worry. Okay. It'll be. It won't even be just for the patrons. I think this is going to end up as an emote on the server at some point. So.
Cool. So we kind of know what a Mentat is a little bit. We know that it's meant to be a human computer. They tend to be like advisors or human calculators and things like that, depending on the level of a Mentat that they are. But way before there were Mentats, we had still computers. And our story starts on Corrin, which we covered last time. Corrin was where the big battle happened of machines versus people. During the jihad, yeah.
Yes, of course.
So who's the first Mentat? This starts at 185 to 164 before Guild. So the Guild really picks up after all the machines are killed off, and the guild makes it so we can travel without the use of AI and machines and stuff. So this is just before we're at the end of the days of the machines is where we're starting off our story.
Okay.
Yeah,
we haven't killed Holtzman yet.
No, Holtzman's still alive. Machines are still alive too, and we even are going to meet some machines. So it all starts with a human slave on Corin, and he's born in the slave pens of a robot named Erasmus.
Okay, wait. The robot owns slaves. That's what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Machines can own people. I see.
Or maybe. Erasmus just works there and it's the slaves of someone, but it's they say it's Erasmus's villa.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying what a wacky, twisted world Frank Herbert has crafted for us here.
Yeah.
Where robots could own people.
Yeah, this is right before they got rid of all the robots too. So it's probably right when robots are doing things where people aren't super cool with, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, it was a similar situation on Rashis, right, where the robots essentially had enslaved humanity, but they kind of had just like genetically altered them over centuries so that they didn't notice, were liked it, you know, whatever it is, which became normalized to it. But
yeah,
it was.
Can you get a little red wine stain on the corners of your mouth there for the episode?
Yeah, I have red wine here. I'm letting it aerate a bit. I'm finishing my coffee, but
oh, I see. Yeah. Okay,
I will by the end have that for you. Yeah. So Erasmus, he ends up having some redeeming qualities, but this starts off, he's got a pen of humans doing their thing, and a human who is born into slavery already, like his parents are both slaves, is there. But Erasmus is also the picture that I sent you of the blue robot, or like the silver robot with the blue cape.
Yeah.
You can see in the background of a wider shot, that's Omnius, who's his overlord, his robot overlord.
Okay. I was hoping you would say that was going to be his lover, because that's just like he's a perfect. There's like a clearly like humanoid, like silver robot wearing like a Playboy open robe, and then just like a giant kill machine behind him, which would just be like a very Futurama gag to be like, oh yeah, they're a couple, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the building size spider robot is actually the bottom in the relationship.
Yeah, so Erasmus is talking with his overlord, and they're having a battle of the minds. And Erasmus claimed that any feral human could be trained
feral
to become
human.
Yeah, mm-hmm. any the worst of the worst humans could be trained to become brilliant and almost the equal of thinking machines.
My fair mentat, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he's going to learn to count with a fork and knife.
Yeah. I saw such a dumb meme of just a fork with like noodles on each fork, on each prong of the fork. Mm-hmm. And it goes,
Ein?
And then it says fork with reverb. And then it's a three-prong fork with a noodle on each. It goes, threek.
Oh.
And then it goes, took. Wonk. Now, fork. But
is a wonk fork. Not just like a brochette?
Well,
it still have the body of it, or like the kind of the rounded bit under the tines.
I'm pretty sure it's like a seafood something. Like it's something to pry open a clam
like
or
oyster,
something.
Oyster,
oh, to get like
yeah.
Well, shucker. The shucker is like a big is like a nub with like a flat kind of file thing on the bottom of it.
Just
right?
Imagine a wonk, okay?
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. Picture in your head, listener, a wonk.
Yeah. Close your eyes and picture a wonk. It's the step one to becoming a mentat.
Yeah.
I think with the proper training, even a feral human could imagine a single tined fork.
So Ominous, the big crazy war robot, plucks out a human from the slave pens. He chooses the dirtiest little boy he can find.
Sure.
And he plucks out a 9-year-old boy, and he tosses him to Erasmus. He goes, hey, turn this guy into a civilized person, all right?
Yeah.
And an educated one that could even keep up with machines. Yeah, right.
Oh, wait. So the giant spider mech can communicate with Erasmus directly and is the one initiating the wager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Erasmus said
he could do it. Yeah. So then his boss was like, okay, tough guy. Let's see you do it then, huh?
Yeah. No, I mean, in my head, I just have trouble, I guess, anthropomorphizing spider mechs.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the bet? Let's say winner gets a new arm. Loser gets their consciousness added back to the singularity.
So most of these like pictures, we only have the books, right? Yeah. So Omnius, like we might only have a picture of him from the battle of where they were fighting all the humans. So he might have like a normal form. He might have transformed into a spider mech. You can picture him as just like a humanoid or something for now.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like he'd have his like lounging body. Well, that also has the Hugh Hefner bathrobe on it.
For the record, I'm going to continue, no matter what situation you're describing, I'm going to continue picturing him as the building size spider robot. Like, that's just.
You know what?
And at the dinner party.
Yeah, when we're talking about sci-fi fantasy, that's the beauty of it, baby. We can picture
with
big tits on it.
Like, knowing that we know more about computers now than Frank Herbert obviously did back in the day, or when they made the original Dune movie, like you could just USB connect to a new robot, and a you know, like if it has a hard drive, a robot could just like transfer their consciousness to it pretty easy.
Yeah, and even that'll come up with Erasmus even later. There's a way that we keep his memories around, even past the war. So
we don't erase him, huh?
No, exactly.
Pete, you can do that one on the bonus episode.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Next week. Okay. Subscribe. Linked below.
Yeah. So Erasmus is like, yeah, all right, that's easy. I said I could do it. My boss says I could leave early every day to just work on this thing. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take this kid. So he takes the dirty little 9-year-old boy, and he gives him a highborn sounding name, Gilbertus Albans.
All right, yeah.
That's got to be step one to becoming intelligent, is just getting the most British sounding name you can imagine.
A stupid name.
He said it carried respectable and important tonality, so it evokes such behavior in the 9-year-old child.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In the same way someone named Braden, Breighdin, it would like probably like commit date rape, right? At a university in the States.
I saw this this week too. It's like everybody knows a Kyle. What's a famous guy named Kyle?
Kyle MacLachlan.
No gas.
Okay, you guys know him, so there you go. But anyways,
Kyle MacLachlan in Dune.
Yeah, I don't know who that MacLachlan is.
Yeah,
he's Paul Atreides in the old Dune. He was in Desperate Housewives, I think. He's in Fallout.
Okay. All right.
He's just an old handsome guy. I think it's just his
thing. Yeah. He isn't Sex in the City, maybe? Twin Peaks also. Yeah.
Honestly, Ethan and Peter, you guys had too much important tonalities in your names, and that's why you're able to figure out the Kyle puzzle so true.
Yeah.
So
quick, actually. Right.
Yeah, it's okay, Jimbo. You'll get there one.
Jimbo.
So yeah, our boy Gilbertus Albans would be the first Mentat.
Okay.
But we're not there yet. So Erasmus, he started training.
Step one is to give them a fancy sounding name. Step two is to carve open their skull and put a central processing unit capable of much faster thought into their brain.
he more went with like dog training route at the beginning, because at first he tried it only rewarding positives and being neutral to mistakes.
Okay.
Didn't work. He wasn't getting computer level of
humans. Not as smart as dogs, confirmed.
Well, that's supposed to be the best way to train dogs, because they don't. Yeah,
he went with the smart way, which is the dogs understand it, but humans are too stupid for the good dog way of training them.
Yeah, exactly. But it didn't work very well. It works well on dogs. They like to be rewarded for good stuff. And you ignore the bad stuff.
Ignored. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. This slave boy that I let out of his cage doesn't appreciate his milk bones for some reason.
Yeah. So he switched it up.
Boy, how about another liver treat, Gilbertus?
Just like rattling a bag.
There's this giant, like, now I'm picturing Erasmus as the giant spider robot with like the little like treat bag that they got like clipped onto their belt, the dog trainers, you know? Like.
So that didn't work. So he switched to strict supervision, and you punish the bad behaviors.
Okay.
And You give them behavior altering drugs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very Freud of him. Yeah. This is a 1930s psychology we got going on.
So if you just give them drugs and yell at your children, it made for better mentats.
I mean, okay. I think it is proven that you can make a chess genius by abusing your kids, but it's probably not recommended for a lot of other reasons, right?
Yeah.
I think we have proven that, like, yeah, you can make a world-class chess player, but they will be a freak later on.
You can make an Andre Agassi who hits a million balls over a summer and then mm-hmm. becomes very, very good at their sport, but they might hate their lives and do meth to clean their house as an escape mm-hmm. from the thing they're supposed to be the best at, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But so yeah, this works. So he starts to consider Erasmus as his father. He's humanoid. He's able to speak to him like a human, act like a human in front of him, give him drugs too. So maybe that helped.
He starts thinking of Erasmus as a parental figure, because the way he administers the drugs is he has like a little drug dispenser right where his nipples would be, right? So Gilbert is gonna come up and suckle for the drugs. There we go, good baby boy.
Do you think because I guess just because of the name, it's like a male robot, do you think he has like a fake rubber drug dispenser that he wears? Yeah, it's like a single father.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna write that down. I don't know if I'm gonna draw that.
Robot father, surrogate mother.
Yeah. that's a good episode title.
Yeah. Good band name.
So he emulates Erasmus, who he considers his father, and Gilbertus Alvins becomes the first to display computer-like cognitive and calculation capacity on the level of thinking machines. It's working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think it goes, though.
Yeah, I don't think it goes with the spirit of the bet when you just gave him the limitless drug.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, like, no human has ever been able to remember 10,000 numbers at once.
I could. I can remember 1 through 10,000.
So even I almost, I was like writing this. I'm like, I bet you Ethan would challenge me. I should just include a number here that I'll say once and he can pair it back to me. Just to call him out. I should have done that. Yeah, so after that was accomplished, so now he's able to... There's multiple steps, which we're going to get into later once we kind of get into the school that Gilbertus will have made later, because he'll bring this to the humans later.
Yeah, there's multiple steps. Get human high, and then manage human while high. That manage withdrawal, big step, actually. Yeah.
Welcome to Gilbertus Sullivan's School of Abuse and Narcotics.
For and children. Cocaine.
So then being able to get the base computer-like cognitive and calculation, once he started thinking like a computer and stopped thinking like a human, then they started to train him how to logically and organize his thoughts in the same way as a computer did. So how to store things, how to pull things up, how to have multiple lines of thinking going at the same time and playing into each other.
Sure, multi-threading?
Yeah, and he was able to maintain several lines of thought and think in hyperspeed. And from being what was close to a feral child at the beginning to this was just an incredible leap of intelligence. And he's more intelligent and thinking faster than any human before him has.
Did he ever learn to use a knife and wonk, though? Or did that get left behind?
Why would robots have human slaves? It just doesn't make any sense. What would they be using them for?
They're more brittle. Yeah, they don't have Bluetooth.
Yeah. They gotta sleep, they have to eat. Like,
yeah.
I didn't read the source book, but the source book is the same as the one that you were citing last time.
It is the encyclopedia.
No, the Butlerian Jihad. This is in the Butlerian Jihad. So this
I use the encyclopedia as the source book for the Butlerian Jihad episode. If there's a book called the Butlerian Jihad, I didn't read that book.
I'm sure by accident you must have sourced from it. Because I'm sure there is a whole book on that. And this whole thing is, I wouldn't get too hung up on the slaves belonging to the robot. It could be that
remember the slavery I just thing think too hard, honestly. It,
yeah. Yeah.
Let's just glaze over the slavery thing and pretend like it never happened, huh?
James, no, I still want to include the slavery, but it could be a human's pen of slaves that he assigned a robot to take care of. Or
like bureaucracy, of course.
I don't want this to be a focal point because I know a lot of people care a lot about the Dune lore, and I don't want them all coming at me in the Discord later like, well, actually, the slaves belong to them. It's like, okay, I that's not what I was really talking about. I was talking about Gilbert.
That's how I read all your voices.
Yeah.
From my experience doing Dune, Jamie, too late. It's going to happen no matter what. So yeah. Just buckle up, kiddo.
Yeah, I know. But I want to at least be able to put the focus on what I want when I wrote it instead of you guys putting the focus on it. Yeah, so that's why I'm just redirecting expectations on that. But anyways, later life on Corin. So this is now, we started off at 185 to 164 before Guild, and now we're at 164 to 88 before Guild.
Okay.
And Gilbertus is about 20.
Gilbertus.
Yeah.
We have a giant crystal ball 9,000 kilometers above New York City descending for the next 88 years.
What?
Because then the Spacing Guild will be a thing. Dick Clark's there.
It's the 88 year, yeah.
And he's 14,000 years old, still looks the same.
Yeah, Mariah Carey, who took too many drugs to become a Mentat.
She's just like a big twisted monster, like a tank full of Christmas music and red mist.
Yeah, we all saw her at New Year's Eve, what was it, 2 years ago or whatever, right? So.
So Erasmus, to his own surprise, is starting to feel very fatherly towards this boy who's starting to think like a computer, starting to think like him. And Gilbertus is 20 years old, and Erasmus performed a life extension procedure on him without permission from Omnius. So he went behind the war robot's back to make it so Gilbertus will last longer as a human.
My beautiful baby boy.
Yeah. And because of Gilbert's remarkable memory organizational ability and capacity for logical thinking, Erasmus nicknamed him Mentat, created from the words mentor, mentee, and mentation, all coming from the Latin root for mind or mens. Yeah.
Okay.
So having already won the bet, Erasmus was determined to make him into the pinnacle of human ability. So now not only does he have him doing like reading books, he's also running stairs. Now he's getting him into peak physical shape. So he lasts forever. And he's the best in all ways possible.
Okay, yeah. Parsing first DPS on all the WoW raids.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. Yeah, I can finish a bowl of Doritos in under 3 seconds.
Yes.
You know, he can finish a bowl of Doritos without getting any Dorito dust on his fingers.
Pretty impressive.
Oh yeah, but the lips is a thing the Mentats still haven't solved, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, I will use the power of my extreme brain to solve this problem. And he just eats the bowl of Doritos with his face and is like his hands behind his back.
He's like exactly. Bobbing for Doritos in a drum.
Yeah. So now we're coming up on 88 BG. This is the beginning of the Battle of Corin that we touched on last week.
Right.
How the Mentat story ties into it. So Gilbertus knew it was coming, that he knew more of the robot side of things, and he knew the robots were going to stage an attack on the bridge of Hrethgir. And just for other context too, the Harkonnen and Atreides houses also were arguing if they should even deploy humans to cross this bridge. And it was a point, even as far back as 88 BG, was a point of contention between the Harkonnens and the Atreides houses.
Okay, yeah.
The Harkonnens were like, send them in, we don't give a shit. And the Atreides were like, you're going to kill everyone because obviously the robots are going to attack you.
You're going to lose so many bald boys, dude. Like, you can't fucking do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And Gilbertus, he knows about this battle too, and he hates the thought of his father figure, Erasmus, taking out so many humans. So he kind of went behind Erasmus's back and made it so no humans would get killed at all. And how did he do that? So Erasmus puts Gilbertus in a safe place. But Gilbertus realizes that things are about to go bad on the bridge. So he joins the slave ranks. He pretends to be a slave and he heads out onto the bridge.
Okay.
Just this like group of slaves all dressed in like these rags, very normal looking humans. Then one slave with like a head the size of like a beach ball.
What, he's like Yakub, basically.
Yeah. Fucking Megamind in the middle of them, like fucking berry paste all over his face. Like, yes, fellow slaves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretending like he doesn't know how a fork works at dinner.
Yeah, the slaves don't get forks. That's just opulent. They only get wunks. Okay. Wunks for the slaves.
So I super simplified this because we're not really doing the Battle of Corin right now. Also, if you want to learn in depth about this, read the Butlerian Jihad, because there is a huge story with a lot more characters. But just boiling it down to Gilbertus and Erasmus is how they kind of played into this. Gilbertus manages to contact Erasmus and be like, hey, I left the safe place. I'm pretending to be a slave, and I'm on the bridge you're about to blow. So Erasmus is like, ah, fuck. Now I gotta save him. So instead of killing all
I'm gonna lose that bet with the spider tank if I blow up my guy. I can't fucking do that.
Yeah. And Erasmus, to save his ward, nullifies the bomb, and the army of humanity fleet then passes through the bridge. So this really pivotal battle in the Battle of Corin was won because this Mentat went against the orders of his robot daddy and made the Harkonnens right too, instead of the Atreides, who were like, hey, everyone's gonna die. And they were right, but Harkonnens were right because of a technicality kind of thing there. But
yeah. The Harkonnens got lucky.
So now, but there still is like all the humanity coming through here, robots fighting on all sides. It still is a battle. So Gilbertus, Erasmus takes control of a combat robot and then saves his little son and runs him to safety.
No.
So he turns into a house-sized spider tank.
Yeah, exactly. He takes control of a house-sized spider tank.
It's like one of those, like a house-sized spider with like these like massive cannons on its back and like laser eyes, and it's just got like a papoose with like a fully grown man with an oversized head just like bouncing up and down in it. Like,
yeah,
as it runs away.
Or he's in the middle of a really dangerous battle, and the robot picks up his human and says like, calculating distance, and then throws him to safety. You know, like our favorite game.
Yeah, Titanfall 2.
Yeah.
So. Trust me.
Yeah. Oh, BT. So Gilbertus returns to safety. But unfortunately, all the machines go down. But luckily, Gilbertus gets the memory core of Erasmus, and he's able to smuggle it out of there. So there's a few more years of hunting down robots and stuff, but he does manage to sneak his robot daddy's core out of there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yep.
No repercussions from that action, I'm sure.
Not really bad ones, unless you could like, if you consider Mentats to be bad, it doesn't really come around to bite him in our story today, at least. It creates a whole school. Yeah,
I'm a bit of a jock, so yeah, I'd say nerds are bad.
Okay, cool.
I would say that all the Mentats probably deserve wedgies and noogies and, yeah, purple nurples.
Absolutely.
Like, it's only fair. They had it coming to them.
So, where to go? They head off. For the first two decades after escaping Corin, Gilbertus lives under an alias. Alias.
Appalachian.
Yeah. And he convinced everyone he's just a normal human being with his giant pulsing head. He doesn't actually have a giant.
It's just like he's
head.
Just got like a he's got like what a Sikh, does. He's got like a Sikh turban like painted onto it. He's just There's just makeup he does every day.
Yeah. The jewel that they that some of them will put in like the center of the turban is like the memory core of a robot. It's like an old graphics card stuck in there.
Well, he can't get the back of his head, so he has to dip his head into a thing of paint before he goes in for his mouthful of Doritos.
His morning routine, he's just like, okay, let me, his fucking TikTok of like, let me show you my morning routine, my makeup. He's just like, first I eat Doritos out of this barrel to get this, like, then I do my head.
Yeah. I eat lesbian Doritos and paint a turban on.
Living the good life.
Yep.
Lesbian Doritos would probably be fucking delicious, though.
Absolutely.
Just saying.
Sappho Doritos. So yeah, he goes to Elector. He's hired as a farmer and he lives a quiet life for 7 years, 88 to 81 BG. And he's still protecting this hidden memory core. Then we come up on the foundation of the order. So let me give you this is the Order of the Mentats. This is starting up the school, and this is from 81 to 68 before Guild. And a little quote here. Gilbertus Albans, once the ward of the independent robot Erasmus, has established a different sort of school on the bucolic planet of Lampadas, where he teaches humans to order their minds like computers, making them into mentats. So that's what is going to happen on this planet. So he leaves Lecter. He follows Erasmus's dreams, actually, to form a school. Erasmus's like final wishes is if the robots don't exist, let's make people robots or more into machines than they were, kind of thing.
That is kind of like a very heartwarming, I guess, for the time, retirement dream, right? Of like just having like just like a cabin on a lake where it's like, oh, like for a poet, right? You've got like a young ward you can just teach.
Cabin on a lake, you know, you get, you know, deliveries of like milk and cheese and whiskey once a week. You have your surrogate robot father's memory core with you, you know, that you can just talk to. And yeah, it's just the dream, man. So it's what we're all working
for. I was thinking more of like a Hemingway and Cuba thing with like 40 cats.
Yeah. So he goes out there to make the mentat school and to encourage the concentration of mentat as something. He built his school on the least populated continent of Lampadas. It was already a pastoral world, but he wanted this place to be really remote so they could just focus on becoming a mentat, because it wasn't going to be easy. A lot of people are going to flunk out of this. You have to be the smartest of the smartest with the willest of the will to get through this program,
and the doest of the mostest drugs. Right.
So that from here on out, they don't really mention drugs. Sappho is known, but it's like risky to take it. So I think it was only in making the first one that they kind of took some shortcuts with the drugs.
Right.
You can. And I even looked into
he's like, I've established a school. It's like, I did a lot of meth and I don't recommend it.
Yeah. I even looked into, do mentats mess with spice at all? And they can, like, it'll happen to them, like, if they're on Arrakis and sleeping in a tent, kind of like Paul got acclimated to it because he was just there. It'll happen, and they'll have visions of the future, but they're kind of muggy, and it's not the same as they're calculating the future.
I always thought it was the spice was kind of the thing that the entire universe revolved around. It was the One Ring of Dune. And this is our third episode about Dune now, and we've barely touched on spice at all. Like, you brought it up in the first one we did, Ethan.
But yeah.
The spice melange at this point, we're still BG, because in my head, at least especially from the David Lynch film, like, the guild navigators are in, like, spice aquariums.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need spice to navigate
space.
Holtzman fields.
All of what we've talked about up until this point has been before Guild.
The guild are the ones
who really
spice is from Arrakis. It only comes from Arrakis.
It's only from the created. It's like generated by worms, right?
By the worms.
Worm waste. Yeah.
Yeah. And you even talked about, like, I don't even know if I want to get into the far future of the God Emperor Duke Duke of Arrakis.
But
his Leto 2 ends up banning all the Mentats from the world because he sees the golden path, how humans are all going to die, basically. And the same way that Paul can kind of see the perfect way to weave through the future to make it so people survive, so does the God Emperor Leto. And the reason he ends up, you mentioned last time he turns himself into a worm. The whole reason he turns himself into a worm is so he can see his plan through 3.5 thousand years later. And the only way he'd still be alive to see his plan through is by stopping the Mentats, hoarding all the spice, and becoming a worm. And what his plan is and all that stuff, that's a whole book on its own. And we can get to that. But
we have to ban all the Mentats from the planet. They're too smart. They're going to know that spice is worm poop, and then they're also going to figure out that I'm planning on turning myself into a worm, and that they're going to think that I'm trying to feed people my poop, but I'm trying to save humanity, okay? It's not about feeding people my poop.
Yeah. So yeah, we're on Lampadas. We'll just finish off here before the break, but Lampadas school, we set up there. It's surrounded by vast wetlands, swampy canals, dangerous predators. And the school is like a large cluster of interlocked floating platforms on top of a huge marsh/lake. So you can picture a floating castle, almost like a Hogwarts, where there's mythical dangerous creatures all around. And
I thought he was making like just a, he's just like, no, I'm going to educate all my human computers into the poison level from a Super Mario game.
Well, I presume it's like his father did for him, which is it's all schools of. It's not just being smart. It's also being very competent physically. And part of that is like to get to class, you have to jump across. It's a platformer game that you have to jump across or fall into the poison swamp and Dark Souls fight your way out.
Yeah. And I think there is a warding shield system to even keep the bugs out and the predators. I think the real message is there's no bar to go to downtown to waste your time. There's no
Hogsmeade.
Yeah, you can't. You can't just go for a stroll outside because you'll get killed. You just stay in and you study. And that's what you do. And maybe that's part of it too, though. He's like, we could go out for a test and don't worry, we've got bear lizards just over here that we can go and test your abilities against or whatever.
I think we should move the college I went to in 2008 from downtown Montreal, smack dab in the middle, to part of the, you know, like the flyover part of Quebec that is just tundra between the airport in Cujuac, where I grew up, and I guess like Rimouski or something like that. Like somewhere just like right in the middle next to a big meteor lake that Quebec has got. Maybe put it on the center right there.
They'll still find a way to. I went to a pretty remote school and we still found ways to drink. Yeah. Well, outside of Sherbrooke. Yeah. The whole town was basically meant for schooling. But, anyways. I think after we come back from the break, we can talk about the development of the school, the different levels which lead you to become a Mentat, and then the different jobs you can take as a Mentat, and then maybe what it is to be a bad, bad, evil Mentat. So, we'll see you guys after the break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome back from the break. We're going to start with the development of the school from 68 to 5 before guild. So we're really coming up on the creation of the guild here.
Holy.
Are they calculating enough that they have like that calendar? Are they giving like all the students anxiety?
What's the guild? You'll know when you graduate.
not before then.
Yeah, like 5 years, like 1 degree with no time off, right? Like, so you could be a freshman at 5 before Guild at this point.
I mean, at 5 before Guild, some of the Mentats might already be predicting that a new calendar should be coming. They're like, well, there's a 90% chance that the calendar might change.
But the Mentats are getting hired for the think tanks that are writing the bullshit papers that are going to support a spacing guild having complete monopoly over the galaxy.
Yeah. So here's a quote from Gilbertus to his students. My objective is to send you out of this school with your thoughts organized and your memory capabilities expanded so that you'll be more than the equal of any computer. So now we're striving for past equal. Not only can you run a slave camp, you can predict the future.
Yeah. So I mean, robots have to use drugs like uranium and oil to run themselves, so... If we can do it without drugs, then we're beyond them.
I don't know if fuel is... yeah, dude. I did a lot of fuel in my university. I needed that stuff. It was the same as food.
I mean, bears in Russia famously get high and addicted to prying the top off of gasoline cans or barrels, right? And just huffing the gasoline fumes. So.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah,
there's also
I think it's specific, not gasoline, but specifically jet fuel or something like that.
Yeah, they're not common, but cocaine sharks have happened off the coast of Florida in the drug smuggling trade, where a kilo of cocaine will go overboard and the shark will swim through it, and then you've got an amped up shark. So that's happened in our timeline.
In most situations, I would consider the loss of a kilo of coke a tragedy, but if it goes into a shark, that actually rules.
Yeah, I would say like all this fiction writing that we're doing, it sounds like real life got to it first. We've already transcended machines. We have cocaine sharks.
Fuck the
pacemaker.
Fish.
We've got cocaine. Yeah,
this fish is older than a tree and is also addicted to cocaine.
Yeah, it looks like a normal great white the first day, and then the next day it looks like a goblin shark coming down with all the
it's all hungover and shit. Then eventually you get that like Greenland one where it's just like there's like this old shark at a truck stop. It's got the one with the worms hanging off its eyes.
So now we're talking again about Gilbertus again. Though he was over a century old, thanks to life extension treatment that he'd been given by a robot, he had to keep up appearances of steadily aging. So along with dipping his head into the turban paint, he had to put some wrinkles on his face.
Yeah.
So funny.
Because he's coming up on being like alive for a century from what people can see. From 88 to 5.
Maybe we're getting too in the weeds here with this fiction, but like...
Yeah.
He says that he's surpassed robots and his goal is to surpass robots, but robots came up with the life extension serum and he can't just say like, I'm so smart, I came up with a life extension serum.
Yeah. I mean,
but like, I need to lie to all my students and like, they can't see me going upstairs.
Yeah. Like they're so smart, but they can't figure out like makeup.
I mean, you're right. Yeah. Maybe that could have been one way to handle it. But for how the story actually played out, he drew makeup on his face. He made him look old.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. And he was even considering faking his death and leaving Lampadas before suspicions reached their height. Because it is really risky to have a robot also. Yeah. So maybe he didn't want to be like, I made life extension treatment. Then all the rich people show up like, do it to me too. And then he's I'm not great at it, but I'll do my best.
Yeah, actually a good point. If he hasn't cracked it yet, then there'd probably be a lot of people be like, what the fuck? Give it to us. Probably all the most powerful people in the galaxy would be like, we're going to take that, though.
Yeah, we'll they'd be snooping around. They'd catch him whispering to like a fucking memory core under his desk or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think all the Mentat wizards he's fucking creating into school would like be willing to create, like do another jihad.
Yeah.
30 years later to get the life extending serum, right?
He's cheating on, he's like on the test to like write down the life extension serum and he like looks at his hand to cheat and it's just like the damaged hard drive that is his father in his hand. Like, come on, man.
But you kind of bring up a good point that that people don't like robots, and almost right away we started making like human computers. A lot of these like Neo-Butlerians like hate the Mentats. They're like, fuck these guys. They're just trying to be like the bitches we killed back on.
You made robots too. That's bullshit, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just like from our perspective, like a more modern thing would be just like taking the guns away from the police and then giving the guns to the guy standing next to them, basically, right?
Yeah. Yep. And it's like the Stanford Prison Experiment, right? If you give anyone a uniform, they'll turn into a computer.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, if you get someone to sit on a desk and plug a keyboard into them for long enough, it only takes about a day and they'll start acting like a computer.
They'll start acting like a computer. Try it at home with your loved ones.
Yeah. So the anti-technology Butlerians, they're kind of against this, but they support the school. And as long as he like doesn't speak out too much, one, like, he can't be like, well, actually, robots are a pretty good thing. I have one under my desk that helps me all the time. And also part of his agreement, which granted him support for the school, each year he had to let in some Butlerians, even though they weren't the best ones for the, like, these are the Butlerians who had a 60 average at their sports school.
Oh, and they come over.
Yeah. They're military.
They've already got the fucking the jihadi quota at the new university. Liberal strike again. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I like to believe that his
literally
dad's...
the majority. I don't think it's not a minority quota. It's a majority quota.
Yeah.
I like to believe that the memory core that he has Erasmus stored on is like his massive brain, just thinly disguised as a dog. And it's just like,
fur glued onto this, like,
yeah, like
old
the paper stuff. Cone with the pom pom on it, right? Like, sort of thing, just like pepperoni from sticking around, basically, just dragged around on the street. he's way too old, and he's just like, well, you can't be 100 years old. It's like, you're 100 and your dog's 19, and like everybody's getting really suspicious.
Yeah, there's one thing you said though. You said that he's getting information from his dad. Is that true? Like his I was picturing like he didn't have a way to like plug him back in yet, and he was like working on that.
No, this is like he's able to consult his dad and stuff. And he just has to keep him hidden. So I don't know like how often he'd actually go and talk to him, or like maybe he has it set up where he like plugs it into his own brain and they can just talk without sound. I don't know. But he is consulting. Erasmus, okay. So they have to let in these Butlerians who were never up to the task. Like, your first task of remembering 10,000 digits, they're not even getting to like 15, but they're there.
And not even 1 to 10,000, which we used as an example earlier, right?
Yeah, that's me being a cheeky little boy and cheating Jamie's system here.
Yeah.
Well, you forgot 12,250 again. So, yeah, well, that's failure
past,
on that one.
Past 10,000. So, I didn't,
oh, yeah, that's
didn't
true,
remember.
Stupid. Bad example. Yeah.
This, and there's only like however
Man,
many.
It's hard being a mentat.
Yeah, it is. Damn. Well, when do numbers stop?
Yeah. There's really not a lot of mentat. There's not a lot of mentats out there, too. Like, I looked up the numbers and like the age ranges, and like overall, there was like less than 10,000 in the universe. Okay. So there's really not a lot. They're very, very rare. And every one of these Butlerians is taking the seat of someone who could become a valuable mentat. So
right. Okay.
Yeah. But necessary evil for now. So the essence of the mentat curriculum still comes from Erasmus. That he keeps hidden in his office, which he often interacts with. He knew it would enrage everyone in the government if it was ever discovered, and all the Butlerians. But due to the rigors of the mentat instruction, the failure rate was like 35% even without these Butlerians. So it was a really, really, really hard program. So how are mentats used in the actual world? I'm going to come back to...
That's what I was going to ask, because you said the... and I know very little about them.
Yeah.
But like, because you said like, oh, these Butlerians are taking like a spot that a mentat could fill, which is like a loss for society. And I was instantly like, are they... They're a force of good in the universe then? Like, they're...
They're a force for people. So yeah. As good as people are, they're a force for that. like Paul Atreides has a, or the Atreides family has a Mentat that you meet in Dune, for sure Dune 2, I think in Dune 1 as well.
I know, and the actor, the character is not back in the new Dune 2. I remember seeing that. It's like the kind of fat guy with the umbrella is not in the second film.
And he has, okay.
He's got the black lip tattoo, just like, again, we've talked about him before. That guy, Daniel Dalmatian, is the Harkonnen Mentat who dies when Leto crushes his poison tooth.
Right.
Right.
So there are political advisors. That is the highest rung of Mentat, of the 35% that are cut. So the, of the six, what does that leave us? 65% that make it through
out of 35.
Only 1 in 20 of that 65% will ever reach advisor level. And an advisor is worth, I'm going to get to it actually later, but there's like a direct soldier to Mentat like value system. And it's a lot of fucking soldiers you would give up for just one advisor Mentat. It's a big deal. Yeah.
Now, obviously, Dune and Lord of the Rings inspired much of the fiction we currently enjoy, but this is giving me flashbacks, which is a neat inspiration because the world is already kind of a blend of fantasy and sci-fi. The Mentats are very much like the Sorceress's Lodge in The Witcher, right? Where you've got like a sorceress advising and then manipulating somebody.
Yeah, they're kind of like the Bene Gesserit too, right? In that they like specifically aren't kings and or queens or rulers, but they like all the kings and queens and rulers have a wizard of the lodge that serves as an advisor, right?
Yeah.
And in a perfect world, these advisors don't have... they don't have ulterior motives. They nurture what they call the naive mind, which is the unbiased mind.
They're kind of like they strike me as like eunuchs in like literary terms anyway, right? Like the way that eunuchs are used in a lot of fantasy, like Varys in Game of Thrones.
Yes,
it's very like the only interest is like the intellectual and like
secrets
like that, right?
Yeah. So I didn't watch the video, but the House Atreides advisor apparently has like thousands of assassins and will manipulate things even from the good house. So he does have his little birds all about.
I mean, we know what happens with the Atreides eventually. The book came out 50 years ago.
That's one that they could work at as advisors. They can work at just like, I don't know, any old place where you would need to predict or something. You might even have like at a big enough, let's say there was like one grocery store across the entire galaxy, right? You might have a Mentat who's just running logistics, who's like, can keep track of everything, knows what to order. But I'm saying this because I've been playing a supermarket game, but yeah. I can imagine with a big enough scale where you could take one of these 10,000 people away from their other job that they could be used for anything.
It's like, there's a really good CGP Grey video on the hierarchy of pirate ships and how the pirate captain wasn't the boss of a pirate ship like almost ever. It was usually the quartermaster that was in charge of the pirate ship because he's the one that controls the food and the pay and all those things. So he's the one that everyone listens to. The only time the captain actually took charge of a pirate ship was during combat. Then the captain would be in charge. But most of the rest of the time, it was the quartermaster who was like the de facto go-to person on a pirate ship.
That is not a YouTube channel that is talked about enough. CGP Grey is
very good.
Like that is a decade-long favorite of mine.
If you ever just want to watch a guy talk for 6 YouTube videos about the interstate numbering system, that's your guy.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. So Mentats are also used by the Bene Gesserit to a lesser degree. But they realize the power of human computers, so they have sent a few of their own to become Mentats. They'll take the top 3 smartest women and make them Mentats.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And they're preconditioned reverend and mothers that, went over. I think an example I have here, Tertius, Eileen, Antiac, and Belonda. Don't know them. If you know them, these are people who have become Mentats.
Yeah, cool. I'm sure they're not manipulative and evil in any way, because the Bene Gesserit are in no way the villains of the Dune universe.
Yeah, Bene Gesserit, whole other can of worms that I'm sure we'll get to eventually.
Maybe next week, maybe not. I haven't decided.
Maybe we'll crack that can of worms open with a wonk and dive deep into it, you know?
Yeah.
Wonk open a can
of worms.
The
wonk is so versatile.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you're supposed to eat your worms with a wonk and a spoon where you twirl it.
Yeah.
You gotta throw your worms. Otherwise, you offend the Italians.
It would be like a very thin spoon just for the single time to twirl it.
Mentats, the great houses, definitely use them. Political advisors. Like I said before, the God Emperor, Leto Atreides II, got to the throne because of his own plans. Mentats just weren't a part of them, but there's a long phase where they are.
Yeah, I mean, the context you're giving is like, just so you know, 45,000 years into the future, things have changed.
Yeah, exactly. So with their huge, like, vast memories, they can organize a large amount of data. They can, like, process so much data at once, like, to the point where some of these guys know 95% of all information in the universe, which is so much, incomprehensible amount of data, and then take all of that and use it as, like, a background rule set to make predictions. It's like, knowing everything, this is my model for the universe, which is mostly full. I can make predictions on the future and stuff like that. So
do you think they'd be cool to hang with or no?
No, they'd be insufferable.
You guessed right, because a generalist is one of the jobs we're going to talk about. And they're the ones who know 95% of everything. They are dicks to everyone because they think they're better than everyone for knowing everything.
For sure, you'd have
That's
to.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I think by a lot of metrics, you are objectively better than everyone of you know 95% of everything. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if I knew a fraction of a percent of anything, frankly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Why'd you go to that fancy school if you didn't even learn 100% of everything, huh?
So even some politicians would take, like, limited Mentat training. They wouldn't go through the whole 95% of the world, but they learn how.
I'm in charge. I don't need to know everything. That'd be ridiculous. Just give me the spark notes, nerd.
Yeah. Well, learn how to think like a computer. Make the multiple runs at the same time. Just learning those techniques, I guess. How to be a calculator.
God, if only we could get a politician who could hold a single thought in their head.
Exactly. I just got Mitch McConnell stroking out in front of a podium.
Yeah.
He's connecting to the Mentativerse, dude. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's considering 95% of all the universe's data.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You got to forgive him.
Yeah. Like, all the possible Kentucky situations have to be calculated all at once, right?
Yeah. So one politician that has Mentat training is Paul Atreides. So we know him from, he's the main character in our fun Dune movies that we're watching right now. So if you wonder why he's so good at thinking next to a normal folk, he does have some Mentat training, being a royal man himself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just his Bene Gesserit whore witch mother.
No, yeah. So he has control over every facet of his body. He doesn't need a bra. And he can think better than just about anyone, too.
Bastard. Yeah. I can't wait to be free of this wire.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, he really is a Mary Sue, I think, in a lot of ways, in that, like, he has the voice, he has the royal blood, he has, like, the knife training from, like, Duncan, Idaho, the master swordsmith,
you know? Journey, yeah.
Yeah, and then, yeah, like Jamie says, also, like, a Mentat and just smarter than everyone, like.
Yeah. I think we're going to see more of Duncan, Idaho in the future, by the way. I don't think it's the end for him. I don't know that this will happen in the movies, but a pretty good guess that we'll see him again.
My impression of the books following at least Dune Messiah might be too weird for normal people who were just like, wow, sci-fi sand movie. This is neat. But I don't know how we're about to, you know, like in 10 years, go into the 1,000-foot-long grandson of Oscar Isaac, who is now a desert worm, like psychically predicting the future or something. Like, that's going to be a weird thing. Look, Monsieur Villeneuve, you've got all my faith, and I will sit in a recliner at the Cavendish Theater with Jamie when it comes out. Like, I guarantee it.
Yep.
I mean, it is a trilogy, though, right? So, like,
there's like six books written by Frank Herbert.
No, sorry, I mean,
the movie's a trilogy.
New trilogy. So it's like, we're not really getting into the weird stuff. It's just the first book still.
It's a trilogy of the first book, but we hope that they continue on to some of this crazier stuff where there are clones of Duncan Idaho, where there is a king who's a worm with a 3,000 year time.
I'm there for timeline. It. Let Amazon make the show. Yeah.
I think movies are generally bad. Make something weird. Use money for something good, dude.
Here's the thing. It's like, it will get, if they get greenlit, I don't think Denis Villeneuve will keep doing these movies for the rest of his life unless they give it the whole series the Hobbit treatment and chain him to his Lord of the Rings thing. You know, like, I don't trust, like, let him do his trilogy and be done with it is my take.
Yeah.
And then let someone else do it. Like, I think a show by an Amazon or an HBO or whoever could be quite good.
So let's get into the specific steps of a Mentat. These are going to be the goals that you learn whenever you join the school, as well as go into the workforce. And you can stop at any level of this. There's six levels that kind of progress in order. And you can stop after mastering any one level and have a very good Mentat job to the very end. If you make it to the end of everything, you could be an advisor for a royal family.
This feels like a timeshare pitch, but I'm in for it.
I'm trying to make it easy to remember steps. Yeah.
Okay. If only I had some sort of formal training to make things easier to remember.
God. Yeah, I know. This is like the Mentats talking down to the humans, to the Butlerians. Like, only six steps. It's really simple. We just need your funding.
Okay, sure. You just need me to remember to step. Okay, boss.
Yeah.
No problem. Here I go.
It does sound like a Kickstarter pitch, though. Like, it's some capacity.
So here's the first three. Here's the first three, and these are generally the ones that are learned in the school. You have the memorizer first, then the processor, then the hypothesis. And we'll get into each one. So the memorizer is the first stage of the Mentat training program. When you get there, you just have to be studying a lot, and you have to be able to summon knowledge. You don't have to think as fast as a computer yet. All you have to do is, if I ask you something, you should know the answer. Or if I give you, the final test is an absorb a series of 2 × 104 numbers or letters. So it's a 2 × 104. There's 208 of them just listed in a row. And you have to remember them and reproduce them in a correct sequence. And you have to have the same timing or spacing as the original. So however that they throw that at you, you have to be able to reproduce it. So if there's huge spaces in between, you should remember those, all that stuff. The way that we would do, a human might be able to get 2 × 104 if with the right use, with enough time,
208
and the right using of chunks. The best way that we found for memorizers so far to remember pi, let's say up to hundreds of digits, is to remember them in chunks that you remember. Like, oh, this is a part of my home phone number from when I was a kid. So I remember this part. This part is, you have to assign meaning to these numbers or else they just won't stick, kind of thing.
I remember that. Okay. The number 3, this chunk is the number 1, this chunk is the number 4.
And nice. We have... Oh, there. Some people who
rest with a hand wave
and the 10,000 others.
Some neurodivergent people in real life have they assign feelings or colors to numbers, and it sticks with them much better for the double meaning. Like, a 3 feels different than a 4, and a 34 feels different than a 3 and a 4. So they get these like almost emotional paintings, which become sequences of numbers. But that's for like probably the Mentats of our day, like the people who can compute like large amounts. They have to work with it in a different way.
The only thing I can think of is like that, like a daytime TV show called Sue Thomas FBI, which was like a deaf detective.
What does that have to do with anything?
Because the way you were describing it is kind of the way that Hollywood does like magic autism.
Oh yeah,
basically.
Oh, yeah.
Good Doctor. The Predator, I think, where like main guy's son can use Predator tech because he's autistic.
Yeah. Well, and there's like the autistic guy that they brought him for a plane ride in New York or something, and then he was able to recreate the whole skyline down to the number of windows on every individual building just because it sticks with them in a different way. And Yeah, not me, not you guys probably, but memorizers would be able to do that. They would be able to look at a skyline, take everything in, and replicate it. And that's the first step to becoming a Mentat. Yeah. Now processors are the second rank. So now they have to not only so first you can remember, now they can remember their 208 numbers, but they have to be able to combine, divide, sort. You can say, okay, now list them backwards. Now list every second one. Now list every second one, then every third one, then every fifth one. Give me a new list of numbers. These types of things. And then now they have to have 99.99985% accuracy per 10,000 items. So this is very, you can hit a stopgap here pretty easily, even if you pass the memorizer part of things. But it starts to become dangerous here, because this is where now you're taking large groups of numbers and you can start to, or large groups of patterns, because this also starts to work with like behaviorism and like how people act and stuff, especially once it gets into more of like the strategy and stuff. So making conclusions at this stage is not recommended. Use peer review. Only take another Mentat's work and use their conclusions to make conclusions off of your data. Because if you use peer review right now, or if you use absolutes, like if you say your comic's coming out on February 14th,
hypothetically,
you're probably going to be wrong because you're just a processor at this point, right?
Mm-hmm. I would also like to argue that we may have at least 4 or 5 more February 14ths going into the future.
I might also like to add that Pete's way dumber than a processor.
He paints by numbers. He don't remember him.
I cannot. I would never be able to do the colors backwards, dude.
Yeah,
that layer's coming out on 2/14. It's only April. Come on.
Oh, it is 4/14. Dang.
Yeah.
This is really reminiscent the way like the Mentats use this to predict like human behavior of Asimov's The Foundation Trilogy Psychohistory, I think he calls it, which is just like this. The entire premise of the Foundation Trilogy is based on this like idea that this guy was able to predict the rise and fall of all civilizations for like the next 10,000 years. Yeah. And every 100 years or something like that, or 1,000 years, maybe he releases like a video from the vault saying like, hey, you're at this stage. This is what's going to happen next for civilization, basically.
Foundation opens up and it is that scientist being called into another scientist's office to be like, and he's like, look, this is happening. Everything's going to go to everything's fucked. And everyone's like, there's no way to prove that. Psychohistory is not a real way to think about things. You can't take something as abstract as behavior and make predictions about it. But of course he did. And
he did and continues to do.
Yeah. So now you can memorize it, you can process it, manipulate the data. Now you're starting to see how you could build some hypotheses. Now the next part is interpreting the data. And this is, you have to use your peers a lot at the beginning of this to kind of get a good intuition going. But if you make it that far, a hypothesis could pride themselves on the different numbering of interpretations they can see in a set of events.
Right.
So, an example, how many motives might Muad'Dib had for walking into the desert? Why would Muad'Dib walk?
He was lost.
So you might have
him
7.
And his mom were gonna die.
They're able to think in like statistics and bell curves and stuff. So,
all I can think about is bell ends. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
yeah. Worms. yeah. So they might say, okay, hey, master, I have 7 theories on why Muad'Dib did this. This is the top one is 92 to 98% reliable. But here are the offshoots too. I can tell you that this might be why, this might be why, this might be why. And this is the data that I have behind it. So that's the next step. Which it starts to become more interpretive, which is a whole other skill. Not a lot of people would make it to the hypothesis. A lot of people would stop at memorizer or processor and go work at a grocery store. and they'd be able they'd do great at it. They'd know what's in stock, what's out of stock.
In charge of a pirate ship. Why not?
Yeah.
You know?
They'd be great. Everyone would be fed. Everything would be fine. But don't tell them to hypothesize what a banana might look like in 20,000 years, you know?
It'll be
how would we stack the bunches?
Yeah.
How would spiders hide inside the bunches and get shipped to Ontario by accident? Yeah,
right.
So those are the three roles in the school. And that's what you get to learn. And after your training, you get to step into three roles in practice. And these are the big, like, if you made it to the end kind of thing. So generalists, like I said a little bit earlier, they know 95% of everything happening in the universe.
Do they have a placement program at the end of school when you graduate, basically?
I'm sure they're in demand. Yeah. I'm sure they're in demand, that people are like, line me up for a mentat as soon as you got one kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
There's like some guy in it, like on the grocery store planet. He's just like, I have no idea what the fuck is going on. Just send me one of your best.
Gilbertus, was it? He does die eventually, right? He's not still around. Like that life extending serum, it doesn't work.
I stopped. I wanted to know the story of Mentats. I didn't really want to know the story of him, so I stopped following him.
Okay.
At a certain point,
still alive though.
Yeah, there's no reason to think why he's dead. Right now, we're just saying how the school's operating, like with him as the head kind of thing.
Yeah, that's it. Like Pete was just talking about. No, he died in 3BG, apparently.
Almost made it.
Okay. Or 2BG, excuse me. Yeah, so he lived like 180-something years.
Yeah, Jamie stopped at 8, right? With 8 was the
exactly.
most recent bracket.
You so I wasn't curious.
Because when Pete said, like, is there a placement program or whatever, I was going to talk about how, like, oh, I'm sure people are approaching Gilbertus. And then I was like, wait, I don't know if Gilbertus is around anymore, I guess.
Yeah. There's probably something in one of the books or encyclopedias about the handoff of Erasmus, too. I don't know what happened there. But that, in terms of Mentats, I want to get into the three roles of the...
Well, yeah, there's not just, like, some kind of, like, a bunch of Mentats with worthless Mentat degrees in like some book that Frank Herbert's son wrote, right?
Yeah, maybe he held his pepperoni dog's hand and like unplugged it as he died too, who knows? And then, you know, the Mentats are good enough, they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Oh, the fun just real quick fun fact, the Butlerians lay siege to the Mentat school, discover the true identity of headmaster Gilbertus Albans, and sentenced to be executed as a machine collaborator. So
he does die in the end of
that's how he
dies. for his sins. The generalists, like I said, they know 95% of everything, but they're dicks because they act superior and stuff. And this can also, if they get too full of themselves, it can cause computing errors. These are all still humans, so they all have their faults deep down. So they act superior. They shouldn't act too superior because they can fuck themselves over. The next one is simulationist. These are really useful for war. And they see every living being and situation as a tree of possible behaviors or actions. And let's say they were looking at our podcast, they would be smart enough to be thinking, what is my tree of things I might say next? What is your tree, Ethan's tree of night they say next? And Peter's tree of what might say next? And then based on that, predict an hour of our conversation.
It would be really easy for our show specifically. Yeah. We do nothing but repeat ourselves. Exactly. Make the same jokes over and over.
Exactly.
The one branch that says do not do is just 1,000 branches all in a Chinese accent. Just like, nah, so, the something else branch is just what they do.
They're often used in war. So simulationist, high in demand. War is always in demand.
It's so profitable. You can't stop going to war for any reason ever, really.
Yeah. They'll say, okay, Muad'Dib, if he comes in it this way, he'll probably take it one of three ways. If he does it this way, then he'll probably have one of these three outcomes. So you can prepare for every outcome and talk to this. You can probably talk to a simulationist till you're dry in the mouth and still not know what exactly is going to happen, but they can at least help you think of the possibilities you wouldn't have thought of. And then last off, the most rare are the advisors. They possess all previous steps, so they know 95% of everything. They see every possible thing as a tree of things and can like really think on every level. Only 1 in 20 who pass the Mentat school. So of the 65% who make it through Mentat school, they are 1 in 20 on top of that.
5%
of 65%. Yeah. And they're so rare and valuable, they're equal to 30,000 Imperial men on the ground.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
I mean, you say, okay, there's got to be, you need a minimum number of soldiers too, though. Because if you have one Mentat versus 30,000 soldiers, like on a barren planet, there's nothing else. I think the soldiers, you know what I mean?
I don't think
we're operating.
The computer man would advise just send me in alone.
Yeah. We're operating on like house scales too, like House Atreides house. So usually, like if you were going into a war and your advisor died, there's like you're at a huge advantage, disadvantage.
Yeah.
Sorry, disadvantage.
Yeah.
And they talk about, I didn't get specifics, but what
just
advisors...
with his umbrella and one sword out on Arrakis. He's just like...
Shaking.
Yeah, shakily drinking his lesbian juice. Like, yeah. I got to think fast now or never, you know?
Yeah.
I've seen
30,000 different paths. They all lead to my death.
It's all 30,000 one really ones. But Mentats, they're still human, susceptible to self-doubt. One thing I found funny is if you have a Mentat advisor, you shouldn't doubt him too many times because he'll self-doubt and then it'll mess with his calculations.
Oh no. It's like one of those, like, you have to like play classical music for your plant sort of thing.
You gotta talk to your Mentat at least once a day, otherwise they get lonely.
Yeah.
You should have a pair of Mentats in the cage.
Yeah,
it's
really.
Social.
Mm-hmm. Don't let your laptop get depressed.
The Mentats are fucking insufferable, so you have to keep them together so they just annoy each other, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's it. And the ones that are talking down on people too, you can't have them talking down on people too often or else they become overconfident. And then that's also a problem. And if you really want to have a bad Mentat, every Mentat up in this point has ethics to a certain degree. They're supposed to have a blank mind. They're supposed to be unbiased. They're probably not supposed to they're probably supposed to value life on some level. But twisted Mentats could skip the whole ethics thing.
Oh, that's two flavors. They're sweet and sour.
Can't wait for the Baja Blast Mentat to come out.
We haven't talked about them yet.
It's got like the teal tattoo with teal stains on the mouth.
Yeah. But there is a planet called Tlilax.
Oh, that's where the cloning vats come from.
Right. And the Bene Tlilax were known to condition some Mentats to be twisted. They jailbroke their human
friends. Oh, no.
They're human smartphones.
These twisted Mentat individuals, Piter de Vries. So this guy, sure. But he is the important thing to know. He is the advisor to Baron Harkonnen.
Piter de Vries. Okay, so, I think I've heard that spoken. That is the guy we were talking about earlier. That's the
red lips, big eyebrows.
Yeah. Okay.
I was gonna say the
skinny bald guy with the black tattoo on his mouth
from in the new movie. One.
He's like talking to the Sardaukar where they're doing the blood ritual in the rain, sort of thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So they're allowed to hypothesize, strategize, and tacticize free of any ethical restraints. They're allowed to leave a human on a desk until they become a computer or whatever that we're not allowed to do in our current psychology test, right? Yeah. So if you ever wonder why in the Dune movies, probably especially getting into 3, why the Harkonnen's Mentat is not so neutral, that's why. He's twisted. He's sick and twisted, like the Joker society.
Right, dude? That's where all the makeup comes from.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the Joker, baby.
You laugh because I'm different. I laugh because you're all the same, you know? That's a joke, baby. Yeah, okay. if you're a Mentat, you would know I've come to the end of my script here. You predicted that. So that's been Mentats. And that leads us up to the Mentats eventually that we'll meet in Dune. If you want to read about that, like I said, Butlerian Jihad book would cover a lot of what Ethan talked about last time and all of what I talked about today. So if you want the source, that's where it is. And if you just want to find us, you can find me at discord.gg/loreboys. And that's where we do a lot of our chat. People are talking about Dune in there. People are talking about everything in there. And come correct me. Come tell me I'm a stupid, dumb idiot for saying something wrong. Discord.gg/loreboys. And if you want to see me on Twitch on Tuesdays and Thursdays, twitch.tv/loreboyjames. And you can come there and call me a big, dumb idiot, too. Thanks.
Peter, what's going on in Instagram?
Hey, it's at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. Come see the pictures. I realized I checked today and it's just stuck in my head at time of writing, or the last time I looked at it, we had 1,123, so 1123 followers. Please don't follow us or unfollow us, because that would fuck up the vibe, the feng shui that we currently have going on.
Yeah, it's a nice number. It's the start of the Fibonacci sequence, I think. I don't know.
I can remember it. I'm meant that.
It's 1, 1, 2, 3.
About how I can remember 10,000 numbers, but the first four digits of the Fibonacci sequence got me like
5, 8, 12.
If you like the show, consider leaving us a review on your podcast app of choice and telling your friends and family. It really does help out the show a tremendous amount. So I'm not just saying it. Consider doing it.
Yeah.
This is your call to action. If you want to support the show, we do have Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys, where you can check out our various tiers, support the show, keep the lights on, help us do bigger and better things, like buy Jamie a computer so that he can stream on Twitch. twitch.tv/loreboyjames, if you want to check that out.
Good question. You guys already did that. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. And for those who don't trust Patreon, of course, we do have, a pretty big sponsor this week. PepsiCo obviously reached out. They know how big we are. They know how they saw the branching paths of their corporate empire and knew that all roads led to Loreboys. So we're partnering with them. Very exciting. We are on the search for the lesbian flavor Doritos. Send in your submissions of what you think would make a lesbian flavor Dorito, and we will be happy to try it on air, of course. Send us your recipes. We'll mix them together, make some corn chips from scratch, because PepsiCo, for some reason, they stopped returning my emails at a certain point. But, specifically when I asked for plain Doritos so that we could season them with the lesbian juice, they kind of just stopped being in touch with me. But
I had the juice alone. And honestly, I've already gotten a Subaru and moved in with my closest friend.
Jamie's still on a 48-hour first date. So yeah, send us your submissions for the flavoring, and we'll be happy to give you the all the knowledge that comes with the lesbian juice. Make you as smart as a lesbian today. I think that would constitute a Loreboys.
Loreboys
out.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.